The tales of Winnie the Pooh have been an enduring childhood favourite for every generation since they were written. I remember as a child reading or being read to the tales of Winnie the Pooh, and I also remember reading to my children the tales of Winnie the Pooh. One quote that caught my eye, I just want to read to you this morning. Piglet noticed that even though he had a very small heart, it could hold a rather large amount of gratitude. See, Piglet is portrayed in the stories of Winnie the Pooh as a character who knows his own strengths and his own weaknesses. And one of his character strengths is that of gratitude. He is a grateful creature. He might be small, but he's very thankful. Serves as a good instruction this morning. Piglet serves as an introduction to this morning in that we're looking today at an attitude of gratitude. That's our little tagline for this morning. Not just a snappy saying, not just a cute phrase, not just a slick cliche, but I hope it's going to be a memorable summary of what I want to talk about this morning. We started talking about Thanksgiving last week. And if you remember, if you're here last week, I coined a phrase, extreme thankfulness, to help us realize the power of this theme in the Bible. I was inspired to describe thankfulness as extreme as a result of studying the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians is a fantastic book in the Bible. It's one of those books that is full of so much stuff. We've been looking over Sunday mornings at the book of Colossians. If you've been noticing, this is talk number 18, as we've been journeying through the book of Colossians, we've come to another aspect that we found, another nugget, as it were, another gem we found in the book of Colossians, and it's to do with thankfulness. And in the book of Colossians, I want to suggest this morning that thankfulness is something which is extreme in two senses. Firstly, it's extreme in the number of times that the Apostle Paul, as he wrote the book of Colossians, the number of times that Paul mentions the theme of gratitude, of thanksgiving. He mentions it 7 times in a short book. Clearly, it was something on his mind. And I believe it's something on God's mind, on God's heart for us, that we would appreciate the importance of gratitude, of thanksgiving. But secondly, as we look through the book of Colossians, that Paul was serious about the Colossians realizing that thanksgiving is something that is an extreme message. It's something to fill our lives, to fill our mouths, to fill our prayers, to overflow our lives. And in fact, it's the punchline of the Christian life. As the foundation of Christianity is this foundation of thanksgiving. See, the book of Colossians, thanksgiving is no afterthought. It's no small part of the Christian life. It's no kind of tagged on the end bit. Actually, it's central, it's major. It's the substance of praying and living for Jesus. And we got 2 bites of the cherry. Last week, we looked at extreme thanksgiving in our communication with God. And we talked about praying and the place of thanksgiving in our prayers. Today, we're talking about extreme thanksgiving in terms of our daily walk with God. So today, we're looking at an attitude of gratitude. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your amazing goodness to us. Lord, we couldn't be here today. We couldn't be alive today. We couldn't be breathing today. We couldn't be anything today unless in your mercy and your kindness and your grace, you had given us life to wake up this morning. So we want to say thank you. We want to start this morning by saying, God, we are so grateful for your love, for your grace, for your goodness. Thank you for this day that you've made, that we could know you, that we could love you, that we could serve you. Heavenly Father, we ask today, would you come by the power of your Holy Spirit and would you work in every single heart here today? Every person in this room, would you speak into their lives? Would you change their hearts? And would you work powerfully amongst us? Amen. Are you a glass half full or a glass half empty kind of person? Apparently, people fall into 2 categories. Some people look at a situation and they only see what's missing. They only see what they don't have. These are the half-empty kind of people. Some people look at the same situation. They see the upsides. They see what they do have. Those are the half-full kind of people. I've got to be honest, I'm more of a half-empty kind of guy. My disposition is more pessimistic than optimistic. In fact, my wife reassures my children. Often I've told them what I believe is going to happen in a situation. She comes in quickly saying, "Don't worry, it's never going to be as bad as Dad says." Dad has given you the worst case scenario. It is going to be fine. She is a glass half full kind of person. But whatever your natural disposition, whatever it is, the message of gratitude is for us all this morning. It's not about being pessimistic. It's not about being optimistic. As we're going to see this morning, if you are a follower of Jesus, we are called to live a life of continuous thankfulness. God's called my life to be filled with thanksgiving to him from the moment I wake up to the moment I go to sleep. I believe an attitude of gratitude is very important for each of us this morning. I want to start by showing you the importance of an attitude of gratitude from God's perspective. See, as we look through the Bible, we see an attitude that characterizes in Scripture someone who isn't a Christian, who's not a part of God's family, is a lack of gratitude. The Apostle Paul, in describing people who aren't Christians, in Romans 1 verse 21, he says this. He talks about people who don't honor God as God and who don't give thanks to God. In other words, as Paul is explaining, the book of Romans is a wonderful, incredible explanation of what God has done for us. And as Paul's painting the picture of how everyone is in need of salvation, as Paul's going through in book of Romans, saying there's no one good enough. There's no one who's going to be good enough to get to heaven. As he's going through this picture of what it means to living in the world without God, he says that there are people who don't honor God as God and who don't give thanks to him. And the importance in Paul's mind of being those that do give thanks to him. Jesus characterizes people that are his followers and those that are not his followers in this way. In Luke 6 verse 35, he talks about people who are ungrateful and wicked. See, in Jesus' mind, people, we all need saving. And that the characteristic of someone who doesn't know God, who doesn't follow God, who doesn't love God, actually there's something in the human heart, in my human heart, that before I was a Christian, was ungrateful. And only the mercy of God, the grace of God, that he's come and done anything about that. And so in Jesus' mind, these two characteristics are kind of linked together. And then the Apostle Paul, as he describes what it's going to be like to live in the end days, as Paul describes society in the days we live, in 2 Timothy here, he describes that people will be this. People in the days we live will be lovers of themselves. They'll be lovers of money. They'll be boastful, proud, abusive. They'll be disobedient to their parents, and they will be ungrateful. Do you know any ungrateful people? Do you know friends, relatives, members of your family who are ungrateful? I do. People who are always criticizing, always complaining, always moaning. It's the government's fault. It's the council's fault. It's my mum's fault. It's my children's fault. Contrast is stark between the unbeliever and the Christian. As a follower of Jesus, our life is to be characterized by an attitude of gratitude. Now, in the book of Colossians, he gives us four keys. Apostle Paul gives us four keys as to how to move. The moment I become a Christian, I became a Christian when I was 19. I got down on my knees. I was in my college. I was at university. I was in my room and I got down on my knees. I said, "Jesus, will you come into my life? Take away my old life. Give me a new life." And that moment, something amazing, wonderful happened deep inside my heart, right in my spirit. I was born again. But it took years, and in fact, 35 years later, it's still in process of being changed. That my mind, my will, my heart, my emotion, there's a process going on. And so I'm moving from being a person who's not grateful to being a person who is becoming more grateful and more recognizing, "God, I'm so grateful. Thank you so much." It's a process. And so Paul gives us four keys we'll look at this morning. Four keys to help us move down this path. And the first key in Colossians is understanding that whilst thanksgiving blesses God whilst thanksgiving is directed towards God, actually there's something in thanksgiving which benefits me. It's kind of a two-way process. And first of all, we give thanks to God because, as the psalmist says in Psalm 136 verse 1, give thanks to God, to the Lord, because why? Because he is good. See, because God is a good God, because there's nothing evil in God. There's nothing bad in God. There's nothing negative in God. God is a good God. And because he is a good God, he's a perfect God, he is worth thanking, praising, and giving our blessing to. But also, as I give him thanks, something happens in my heart. Look what it says in Colossians 1 verse 12. In Colossians 1 verse 12, Paul's talking about how there's a link between joy and thanksgiving. He talks here about joyful thanks. There's something in Paul's mind that links joy and thanks. Do you know what? I found a miracle happens when I start thanking God. I found that as I start saying, God, whatever I'm feeling like, God, thank you so much for your kindness to me. Thank you so much for what you've done for me. Thank you so much for all your blessings. As I start thanking God, what I find is somewhere deep inside my spirit, deep inside of me, something starts to bubble. Something starts to come up towards the surface. And it's this wonderful thing of joy. This wonderful thing starts to come up from deep inside. You think, where did that come from? I started off just feeling nothing particular. And then suddenly something starts to come from inside. There's a link between us giving thanks to God and getting joy in our hearts. And that's my testimony. I'm sure it's a testimony of many of us here today. Is that as we start thanksgiving, something bubbles up. As I start using the Lord's Prayer is a wonderful pattern. The disciples came to Jesus and said, would you teach us how to pray? And Jesus said, yeah, this is how to pray. And he gave them a pattern, the Lord's Prayer is a pattern. And it starts, of course, Our Father. And so as we start Our Father in heaven, then what comes to mind straight away is, God, you're my perfect heavenly Father. God, thank you so much for all the things you've done for me. Thank you, delight to provide and to protect my life. As this prayer starts to flow, what bubbles up inside my spirit is joy. What bubbles up inside is a sense, wow, yes, this sense of fantastic, God, you're so good. I want to suggest this morning that if you feel you're lacking joy, you think, well, I just seem this morning not to have that. As we start to thank God, as we start to say, God, thank you so much, even for the plain things, even for the little things, even just for the basic things, as we start to give credit to God, there's something about putting God in his rightful place in our own minds and putting us in our rightful place in relative to him as I start thanking him. And as a result, joy starts to bubble up inside. If I haven't got an attitude of gratitude, then instead negative things start to fill my mouth. You see, what comes out of my mouth is very important, I believe. Things like moaning, complaining, criticizing easily fill a mouth that is not filled with thanksgiving. Book of Proverbs tells us the power of life and death are in the tongue. It's very important what we say. Leads us to the second key in Colossians, which is don't keep thanksgiving to yourself. Don't keep it on the inside. Paul describes a river of thanksgiving that starts to flow in the life of a Christian. In Colossians 2 verse 7, he describes a situation where we're overflowing with thankfulness, where something starts to flow in our lives. And one of the benefits of me and you thanking God is it starts to overflow and touch our neighbours, touch the people we live with, touch the people in our office, touch people in our family. It's contagious. It's one of these things, it's like a very infectious virus. It goes from person to person. As I start to thank, there's an overflow. There's an overflow. The word thanks in the Bible occurs like 116 times. I've been through and counted. No, I didn't. I didn't. It's a fib. I didn't. It's 116 times. The majority of times in the Bible that the word thanks occurs. It's about giving thanks. In other words, it's not just an attitude of thanks. It's in fact an active thing of actually doing it, of actually saying it, of saying thank you. Thank you, God. Being gratitude. The attitude of gratitude spills out into my mouth. As we express, something flows out. Something happens to us. There's an amazing process happens. You've heard of a vicious circle. I want to describe this morning to you a virtuous circle. See, a virtuous circle starts when I say, God, as I give thanks to God, I say, God, thank you so much that today you've given me a new day. Thank you so much that today you've given me health. Thank you today that this is the day you've made. As I start to give thanks to God, God starts to release blessing. God starts to release joy. Something starts to flow in my life. Something starts to change in my spirit. Something starts to change in me. And that motivates me and stirs me to want to say, God, thank you so much again. And we get this virtuous circle. But I've got to start. I've got to say, it's up to me to start. It's up to you to start with saying thank you, thank you, thank you. The classic Robinson Crusoe, written by a Christian. Daniel Defoe was a Christian. And one of the lines in the book, Robinson Crusoe, says this: all our discontent spring from a lack of thankfulness for what we have. All our discontent spring from the lack of thankfulness for what we have. See, if we're feeling unhappy about anything in our lives, I've actually simply got to start saying, thank you, God, for what I've got. Songwriter Fanny Crosby, she wrote many Christian classic songs, not in this century, previous century. And she tragically, this lady at 6 weeks old, tragically, she lost her sight. So she was born, and then at 6 weeks old, she was struck down blind. At age eight, she wrote a song. This is what she said at age. This is age eight. She penned this. What a happy soul am I, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't. You see, for her, thanksgiving was a choice. See, she chose, even though she was blind, and so missed out, in a sense, on so many things that we enjoy here. Actually, she knew that she got so many blessings, and God filled her life and used her in a wonderful way. And that leads us to the third key in Colossians, which is in Colossians 3, verse 15, which is the key where Paul says, just do it. It's one of the very short, in the Bible, there are long sentences and there are short sentences. This is one of the shortest sentences in the Bible. It says, and be thankful. It's an imperative. It's a command. Paul's saying, just do it. Just be thankful. Don't wait till you feel thankful. Get on and be thankful. Third key in Colossians is just do it. I've got to start. I've got to open my mouth. I've got to say thank you. Do you know what? There's something I believe, something I've experienced that has taken me through hard times. Times where I haven't been able to sleep at night. Times where I felt worried and stressed. Times where I felt anxious. Times where I felt really down about a situation. What I've found is this. There's a verse in Psalm 34, verse 1, which is one of my most amazing, fantastic favorite verses. It says this, the Psalm of David. He says, I will bless the Lord. In other words, I will say thank you to God. I will praise God at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. David was choosing whatever the season of his life, whether it was a toughie or a goodie, he was going to say thank you to God. He was going to praise God. And I found, as I've been through that valley, that hard time, that time where I feel, God, this is so tough, actually choosing to do what David did here, choosing to bless the Lord, choose to fill my mouth continually with his praise. What I'm saying to you is it's an engine. It's an engine to bring us through a hard time. It's like something that happens inside that pulls us through a hard time and out into the things that God has for us. What I do is I pray each word. So I start like this. I say, God, I will. What I mean, God, is I'm choosing. I don't feel like it this morning, God, but I'm choosing. My choice this morning, God, I will bless and I will thank. I will praise. I will give you the honor that's due. I start praying through each word, meditating on that psalm and using it as a springboard to say, God, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to praise and I'm going to thank you. See, the thing is, gratitude opens up a way for more blessing. As we remember, God, thank you for so many for the things you've done in the past. Those early Christians, those apostles, what were they doing? What will they do? We read in Acts 2, verse 46 and verse 7. As those Christians gathered together day by day, they regularly assembled in the temple. And it says this, they were constantly, what were they doing? Praising God. So amidst the persecutions, amidst the opposition, amidst Peter and John being banged into jail, all the things that was happening, what were they doing? What was their activity? They were constantly praising and thanking God. It was the theme of, it was what characterized these Christians, these early Christians, something characterized them. It was the love in their hearts. But it was also the joy, which in the middle of a prison, those guys, Paul, they're locked up, tied up, chained up. They were rejoicing. What is all that about? There was something in their hearts that was powerful. It was this thanking and praising God. Well, as we look at what Jesus' attitude, it's very interesting in Luke chapter 17, where we see Jesus met 10 lepers. Of course, in the time of Jesus, leprosy was an incurable disease. And Jesus met these 10 lepers, and he said, as you go to the priest, you will be healed. He said, as you go, the power of Jesus, power of God's going to come upon you, and you're going to be healed. So off these 10, they believe what Jesus said. And so they headed off to the priest to show that they had been healed. On the way, the 10 of them, all of them were healed by Jesus' power. But then do you know what? Only one of those 10 came back to say thank you. Jesus is incredulous. Jesus can't kind of believe the fact that these guys have received supernatural healing, been wonderfully healed, and yet they've not got in their hearts any sense of gratitude. And he just can't believe it. Look what he says. Jesus says in Luke 17. He says, you can almost hear Jesus' voice here of incredulity. He's saying, were not all 10 healed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this Samaritan, who was actually outside of the group of people? He's the only one who came back to say thank you. And Jesus just can't believe it. There's almost a sense of disappointment in Jesus' voice. How come these people have received the blessing from God and yet they've not said thank you? Jesus is incredulous that they haven't come back and said thank you. Just a moment while I pick up my notes. You don't want me to go on and on all morning? It's always dangerous when a preacher loses the notes. You know, oh dear, we're going to be here for a long time. Not at all. The thing is that we'll find around us, there will be a lot of people who will not be giving thanks. There'll be a lot of people around us who will be like the 9. So there are people in our office, people in our family, people in our neighbours who will be like the 9, that they will not say thanks about anything, never mind to God. They're just not thankful people. And Jesus here was just amazed that they weren't. And Jesus was really fantastic, this one person that came back. Which leads us to the final key in Colossians, which is about being thankful for everything. And it starts in Colossians 3, verse 16. And Paul here is talking about singing. We've been singing this morning. Wonderful to sing together and praise God together. And he says, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. There's something about singing. As I express my thanks to God, there's something about singing which is very powerful. And many of us, I'm sure you've found the power of having Christian music in your home, in your car, on your MP3 player, on your iPod, on your iPhone, whatever. There's something about Christian music as we express gratitude to God. There's something about singing, filling our lives with singing, that is very powerful means of praising God and thanking God. You know, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about one of the kings in the Old Testament, a guy called Jehoshaphat, who was a king of Judah. And what he was in a situation where opposition was coming against him. But he didn't just have one army coming against him. He had 3 armies coming against him. And one would have been challenging enough, but he had 3 armies that were coming against him. How did he respond to this multiple challenge? What did he do? 2 Chronicles verse 20 says this. Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon, 1 army, Moab, 2 armies, Mount Seir, 3 armies that were invading Judah, and they were defeated. See, Jehoshaphat didn't face one problem, he had to face three problems. And what did he do? Is he set these guys to sing and to praise and to thank God. Have you noticed that sometimes in your life, not just one thing happens that's a problem, but maybe two things happen at the same time, or even three things happen. It seems like everything seems to come at once. And what did Jehoshaphat do? He started thanking and praising and singing, and God moved as he started to do that. What a wonderful thing. Finally this morning, our final verse is this. Not just thanksgiving in context of singing, but look what Paul says in Colossians 3 verse 17. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever, all aspects of our life. There's something very powerful about saying thank you to God for everything. This morning we're going to listen to two testimonies, just so we can say thank you, God, with those that are going to share. You've all got your own testimony of where God's moved, and you can say thank you. We're going to first of all welcome Martika. Let's give her a big warm round. Martika, come on down. Martika, tell us your story so we can give thanks to God.
Thank you. Oh, where to start? So Paul asked me to share about my new home, but I think it's a bit more than that. So about a year ago, I started looking for somewhere to live, and it was at the back end of breaking up from my marriage, so I was really in a very low place. And we started to look for this house, but interestingly enough, sort of 3 months before, my sister had some money that she wanted to invest, and she couldn't get a mortgage on her own, so we went to see a broker together. And at the time I was still married, so I had no idea I would be in this situation. And at the time we went to see the broker, I was working part-time as well, so I couldn't even get enough mortgage myself. And so I sort of told a small lie and said that I was working full-time and that this was my salary. So he told us what we could borrow, and we started looking for somewhere to live. And I was thinking, Lord, like, you need to sort me out here, because this could all go horribly wrong. And within 2 months, I had a full-time job earning like three times what I'd been earning before. And that was the first miracle. So we, I had kind of a wish list for my house that we wanted, and all the things like a garden, two bedrooms, and we had quite a fixed budget in London as well. So you can imagine it was quite tight. And miraculously, I found this house that was really, really, really gorgeous, exactly what we wanted. And one of the bedrooms was a bit small, but you have to compromise on something. So We started all the paperwork for the house, and it took quite a long time. And my sister discovered that she had a CCJ on her file that she didn't know about from a car accident. So this took a long time because we had to get it removed, and the solicitors were involved, and it just went on and on and on and on for about 4 months. And all through this time, I was living in temporary accommodation, and it was quite uncomfortable. So I was quite anxious to sort of move and get into my own home. So my sister had spent a long time fighting with the solicitors to get it off, and it was all an accident, but it came off eventually. And the guy that was selling the house, because we took so long to do this process was about 4 months, he decided that he didn't want to sell anymore, and put the house back on the market. And this was the time when the property market was really going high. So I was really gutted, and I had a complete meltdown at Emma and Rob's house. They're not here today. And I was really, 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 really worried about sort of what I was going to do, where I was going to live, and, you know, sort of coming out of the back end of the marriage situation, having this home to go to was something I was sort of really looking forward to. So I was really, really heartbroken, and I just was like, God, why are you doing this to me? And I was a real victim and feeling sorry for myself. So anyway, I continued to pray and thank God eventually, after having a tantrum. And I just asked God to just show me like what he was doing and if I was supposed to be living in this part of London, because I had some options to move. And also my sister told me that she was going to travel around the world and like we had to sort this out quickly because she wanted to leave her job. And then the broker that we were using, the firm went bankrupt and it was just all going wrong. So we had to start again from the very beginning. And I was sort of going out every week looking at properties and it was just abysmal because London's just a really difficult property market. And, you know, you go and see something and then 2 hours later it's gone. And so you have to be like really quick. And so I just started to pray and ask God, like, you know, I can't believe that you've brought me this far to kind of leave me and not have anything. So I just felt one day in my spirit to look in Camden, and I hadn't been looking in Camden because it was out of my price range. And so I just looked one day and I saw this house that looked, well, flat, that looked good. And so I phoned up the estate agent thinking it would be gone. And he said, no, do you want to go and view it tomorrow? So I went out to view it. And at first I didn't really like it because of the house that we had before was like a conversion. And so my mind was sort of set on that standard. And this was in an estate. And so I kind of was a bit, when I pulled up, I was like, I felt disappointed in my heart. And but I went in and the flat was really nice. It was really big. It was because council properties are much bigger usually. And so I went in and had a look and I thought, oh, it's really big. It's like, and it had lots of light and it was really nice. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. And it was an interesting price as well. So I discussed it with my sister because she was investing in it as well. And she knew that we had to move quickly because, you know, they go so quickly. So we put an offer in and the offer got accepted. And then we went on another process for about 5 months. And I was thinking, this isn't going to work. I'm going to be back to square one again. And we'd already spent quite a lot of money the last time with the solicitor trying to sort out the other house. So I was a bit anxious about, you know, starting the process again and it not working. We prayed about it and I just felt that peace in my heart. And I gave a testimony a couple of months ago about sort of when I found God and having that peace. And I just had a peace in my heart about it. But I was obviously anxious to move because I just really wanted to have a home. And the lady that was selling the house was being quite difficult about, because she had tenants in there and they had to move out because it was a residential mortgage and like we couldn't complete. So we'd originally agreed that they would move earlier and then they wouldn't move. And I was just like, oh, this isn't going to work again. And, you know, I was just really, really, really anxious. And so last week I got the keys to that house and I moved in. And, you know, I really feel like it's a new beginning for me. And I really feel grateful to God for that. And also just grateful. My mum came to church today, which is unusual. So I'm really grateful for that. And also my niece, Carmel, she comes here. And yeah, just from sort of coming out of my marriage, having her come to church and know Jesus has really moved me. And yeah, God can just turn anything around to his glory. And I'm really grateful for that. So thank you.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Really encouraging. Thanks for your honesty. Because life has ups and downs, and it's really thanks for sharing that, the journey with us, and how God's brought you through. Fantastic. What a wonderful God. Ask Monica. Give Monica a big warm up. Come on down, Monica.
Hello. I've had an unexpected summer in many ways, and I just want to talk a little bit about it. In June, I was taken to hospital, and I had some bleeding on the brain, so it was quite serious, although I didn't really realise at the time that it was serious. But God was with me. That I've got 2 days that are absent from my memory. So in those 2 days, I was in hospital and I had a procedure. But somehow people found out. Now, I don't know how that happened. Did I phone somebody? I don't know. Did I phone my work? I don't know. But somehow people knew. And so very soon I had visitors. And I had visitors every day while I was there. It was fantastic. I'm very thankful because my daughter, Esther, was in London. Now, she works in Luxembourg. So she was in London for a 3-day conference at the time. So it was lovely that she was there. I'm also very thankful because her work enabled her to stay in London for 4 weeks and only work part-time for that time. So she came to visit me in the morning and then she went to work in the afternoon. Amazing. I'm very thankful because the hospital, the care I received in the hospital was great. Really, really good. And I'm okay, which also is amazing. I feel so okay that it almost as if it didn't happen. So I really thank God for that. So that was sort of June, July. And then in August, I heard that my sister died. And that was very sudden. She's younger than I am. She and her husband had just moved from the West Indies to Bulgaria, and they'd been there 3 weeks. And I had this phone call to say that she died. She hadn't been ill. It was completely unexpected. So this was an enormous shock. But, you know, I'm thankful because she didn't suffer. She had a heart attack and she died. So it was very, very quick. She died very quickly. I'm thankful because she knew Jesus, so now she's with him. And I'm thankful because she also, although she was only there briefly, she was in the place that she had chosen to go to for that time. And also I was able to go and visit my brother-in-law. Now, at the beginning of the summer, I was told I wasn't allowed to fly because of my condition. But by this time, this is August, end of August, I was. So I was able to go over there and spend a little bit of time with him. So that was a lovely thing. And then finally, I'm really thankful to God for my job. Now, last January, I went to my boss and I asked if I could, instead of working full-time, if I could work part-time as from September. Now, in the school where I work, that's not normally done. And I didn't get an answer, and I didn't get an answer, and he was going to come back to me, and he was going to come back to me. And in the end, I heard in August that from September I could work part-time, which has been such a blessing, because I go in, I do my teaching, I do a little bit of preparation, a little bit of marking, and that's it. So I don't have to do all the meetings, I don't have to do an enormous amount of admin, and I'm doing what I went into teaching for, which is great. And so I'm very thankful to God. And as I was thinking about, you know, the things that have happened and how God has worked, I was thinking, not everything that has happened has been my choice. Not everything has been the things that I've prayed for. But God has worked, and I'm just very thankful to God for everything that he's done.
Fantastic. Let's stand together, shall we? Let's stand together, friends, and let's pray. Let's lift our hearts to God and pray together. Father, thank you for the encouragement of hearing how you work in our lives. And Lord, we recognize you're a sovereign God, that your ways are far above our own plans and purposes, that your ways are incredibly far more powerful, wonderful, amazing, mysterious in some ways compared to what we would want. But that, Lord, you always work these things for your glory, your purpose, what you're doing in our lives. And we're so grateful. We're so grateful, Lord, today that we're not wandering around in this world lost, without a purpose, without a reason. We're so grateful, God, that you've put your hand upon our lives and that we have a reason to be alive today, to know you, to love you, and to walk with you. Father, thank you for all the stories that there are here of your incredible faithfulness, amazing goodness, and wonderful kindness. And all God's people said, amen, amen. What if you turn to the person next to you, grab their hand, twos or threes. Don't worry, I'm not going to embarrass you.